1041 Territory FM. Hello, it's Mornings with Mel, and our Ask an Expert segment continues. It is NAIDOC Week, so we've decided to welcome into the studio Associate Professor Linda Ford. NAIDOC Week must be incredibly busy for yourself and the crew over at Northern Institute.
It is indeed.
Can we start by taking a look at what NAIDOC is? Now, I'm going to embarrass myself and say that I had some friends that thought that NAIDOC was actually an Indigenous word. They didn't realise that it was an acronym.
Well, it's not an Indigenous word.
No.
It stands for National Aboriginal Islander Day of Celebration.
And when we talk about a day, we actually have a NAIDOC week.
Yes, that's correct.
Is there a certain day?
It starts on Sunday, the 7th, and it ends on the 14th.
Excellent. With a gala ball, with a celebration.
That's correct.
Which is wonderful. So some of the events that we're having through the Northern Institute are very, very interesting. Which one did you want to start with?
Well, we've got a series of events that are happening, and we have the Aboriginal Cosmology presentation. That's the Australian Research Council Aboriginal Cosmology and what this means for women and gender policy. And that is focused on Kathy Guthajaka, and she's from Gawa, which is on Elko Island. And it's about her learning journey and how she positions herself in the cosmos.
So, gee, that's a fairly big concept.
It is, indeed. And we have a focus on her education pathway. And in that process, what she's done is she's been a teacher for many, many years at Shepherdson's College and other places. And eventually she started her own school back out at Gawa.
Wow.
In 1980s. And she cut through a little bush track with her husband, Colin, and family members. And she put a community there so that it housed all her family. And she eventually got the independent school out there interested. And there were lots of children out there, so they built a school, Gower Christian School.
Wow.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
Amazing story. And Guta, she may look frail and she is unwell, but she's an incredible, powerful woman.
And when we talk, Linda, about the way she positions herself in the cosmos, can you expand a little bit on that for me?
Well, she does things in terms of what she's been taught and what she's learnt as an Aboriginal person, as a Wurrumuri person, and now she's a Wurrumuri senior elder, leader in her community, a person of authority, and she determines a lot of things, actions that happen in the community based on what she's been taught by her father and her mother and so on.
So more than just what she is right now.
Yes.
Looking at past and present and emerging and everything
exactly.
That comes together.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's quite big. And so for the project, we've focused on the things that she felt were important, and she wanted to inform the children of the community that there are pathways that they can follow that are not necessarily set in concrete. So through example, she's demonstrated that there are other ways into higher education that are accessible for younger people.
I think it's beautiful that the example she set was creating her own school.
Yes.
That's amazing.
But she's gone beyond that. Last year she got the Order of Australia, and the ceremony took place out at Gawa.
Oh, how beautiful.
And the administrator came out to Gawa to present her with her medal. And that's the first time in Australia that it's not occurred in any capital city.
Wow. History making.
History making.
History making. Exactly. That is incredible.
And also she was awarded her honorary doctorate from Charles Darwin University last year as well. And the October ceremony.
So with this event that's being hosted as part of NAIDOC Week. If people are wanting to get involved, who are you hoping will attend, or who can come along?
Anyone can attend. They can come along to the Northern Institute, Yellow Building 1, the second floor, and they can either contact Katrina Britnell, who's our community and engagement partner officer, and there's a Facebook page where people can look up what the activities are that are happening and attend any of those activities. We have researchers that are presenting about their research projects. We have guests that are coming in, that Yolngu guests that are coming in to talk about why NAIDOC is important to them and the significance of what CDU has to offer and other universities, and talk about their learning pathways.
We'll be sharing all of the information via our Facebook page as well. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking it's something you need to be involved in, you'll find all the details there as well. Can I ask you, Linda, what NAIDOC means to you?
NAIDOC is a time to celebrate what we've managed to achieve in our history. And it's a time to remember our ancestors and our country, and to value what we have and to treasure it. And because this year is the International Year of Indigenous Languages.
Yeah, it's even more significant.
That's correct. And it's time that we're able to really focus on what Indigenous languages mean to us as individuals. And for me, my Makmak Maranungu language and Marathia language and some of the other languages that I can hear from out my region and from other people's country is a living treasure.
Yeah.
I can't explain it in any other way.
Just gave me little goosebumps watching. I wish that our listeners could have seen your face in that moment when you looked for that word.
So, and part of my aspiration in my research work is to actually document as much as I can about the languages that I know and speak, so that future generations and the present generation can have something to look at and say, oh, that's my language. That is my heritage. That is who I am.
I imagine for some people, they've never had that.
That's correct. Because of the past policies where people were actually beaten for speaking their own languages. And that's very close to home for me, because that happened to my sister cousins and brother cousins.
That history is not so far ago, is it? Not so long ago.
That's correct.
It's very recent history here in Australia. And something that is not that accurate history is not taught in schools.
No.
It's not shared or discussed. And NAIDOC Week, I guess, is a time too where we can acknowledge our accurate history.
Correct.
Because if we don't, what will we learn?
Well, often in our curriculum, in our nation state curriculum, often it's remains invisible and silenced. And so with more Indigenous academics graduating from universities and writing about this in their postgrad studies, they're able to articulate a lot of those hidden histories and get them out into publications.
Yeah.
And that is so important. It's incredibly important for younger people to see and hear other Indigenous people talking about those struggles, and to affirm our identity as First Nations people.
If we look at the theme of the 2019 NAIDOC Week, Voice, Treaty, Truth, what does that mean to you?
Well, voice is about making sure that Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islander people are heard and listened to, and understood. Treaty is an ongoing issue. It's highly politicised. However, it's about recognising our sovereignty as First Nations people. And we still haven't achieved that after over 200 years. And Aboriginal people have been here for millennia, we say, forever. There's evidence to say that we've been here in the Northern Territory for 80,000 years. Because they found a stone axe just down near Catherine. So
irrefutable proof.
Exactly. So it's up to the people of Australia to make that affirmation, I guess.
That validation.
Validation of
Of sovereignty.
Of sovereignty and recognising Indigenous people as first peoples.
And is that where that final word in that theme, truth, comes in?
Definitely. And what happened when other people arrived in this country? And what happened to the First Nations people of this country? And I know that when I go into the archives and I look through a lot of the files, at times it's very, very tough.
It's horrific.
To go through and find out information that I've heard as my oral history, written by non-Indigenous people in a way that's not accurate at all.
No.
But thank God that my elders and our tradition of oral history telling, I've been able to remember key words and key time frames and go back into the police journals, go back into administrative papers, newspapers, recordings, and find those particular dates. And I've gone, wow, this is amazing. Look, the old people weren't telling lies.
Yeah.
Here is the evidence. And that's been really exciting.
That truth again.
The truth has been unveiled.
Yeah. I come from a place as not an Indigenous person and not somebody who's felt this trauma, but I think anybody that has felt trauma or injustice, that truth and that validation is so important. Being understood, being believed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I think when we do our academic writing, we have to present the evidence. And so the oral history evidence is supported by the written documentation in those archives.
So it's like a jigsaw puzzle.
It is, it is. Yeah. But it's taken years to find it. And most of the old people that have told me this history have passed away. In fact, all of the old people that passed that knowledge onto me have passed away. So it's my older sisters and brothers and cousins that remain, and finding that evidence has been such an important milestone in our own understanding of our history.
Absolutely.
So, and sharing it with the rest of Australia. And I really need to thank the Australian Research Council and Charles Darwin University for creating that space in academia to be able to do that. But for me personally, it's been quite a journey.
Yes. Yeah. Big.
Full of all different emotions, as you could well imagine.
Yeah.
And some of those documents that I found are so horrific and undeniably traumatic, such as the Daly River murders and what happened as a consequence to that to Aboriginal people, not only in the region but in the whole of the Northern Territory and elsewhere. When I read those journal articles from Paul Fulch, Inspector Paul Fulch, and what he issued his men with to go out and shoot Aboriginal people, it just makes me cry all the time that I read those documents. And to be able to then go and write an academic piece about that is very traumatic.
Yes.
And it takes a while to talk about it, then to think about it, and then to write about it.
It must sit heavy inside you.
Definitely does.
Yeah.
It definitely does. And thank goodness I have a very strong, supportive network family around me to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And not only does it traumatise me, but it traumatises them. Because this is the knowledge that they heard from their grandmother. I'm talking about my children.
Mm. As we said before, this is not long enough ago.
No.
This is recent history. No. Not that anything like this could ever be long enough ago. But
that's correct.
It's close, isn't it?
No.
Yeah.
And those oral histories are passed on from one generation to the next.
Which we discussed briefly off air, the importance of that, and like we just said, those stories sit very heavy inside the person who holds them. How does someone decide who is strong enough or capable or worthy enough to hold that knowledge? If at that time it's not being written down, if at that time it's not being recorded, how is somebody chosen? It must be such a gift, but also in some cases a burden to carry?
I don't know that it's ever a burden. It's a huge responsibility.
That's the word.
And for me, it's my mother instructed me to do things that she wanted me to do. She instructed my siblings what she wanted them to do. And so that's how those responsibilities are passed on to the following generation. And I suspect that's what happened to Gutha on her country, and that as old people out on her country pass away, that they identify people that they want to pass on knowledge to, and that they are carers and custodians of that knowledge.
And then when knowledge is passed on and then investigated by somebody like yourself, it then comes to light, and somebody like me can read it, other generations can read it. From what I understand, there are some things that will never be written and never be known.
That's correct.
How do you ensure that that is not lost?
It's up to the knowledge holders to make sure that information isn't lost. So when they select the person to bestow that knowledge to, they take great care in choosing that person, that they are going to be responsible and that they would be able to teach other people that they think are also responsible to pass that knowledge on. And some old people don't think that some of the family members aren't responsible, and they'll give it to somebody else until there's certain members that they can identify to pass the knowledge on to.
To bring it back.
Wow. Exactly.
Whenever I speaking with you now, it makes me feel cultureless. It makes me feel envious of that connection and that that responsibility and that gift that is passed through. I don't know whether I have that in my family or in my history.
I don't know what to say.
No, I know. But I think it's beautiful. I'm so grateful that you've spent some time with me today. I'm just so grateful. It makes me feel a bit teary, actually, to be honest. So if we look at NAIDOC Week now, and the things that are happening with the Northern Institute, the Indigenous Language and Research Forum. Let's touch on that one briefly.
Right. Kathy Bowe is doing her PhD in linguistics. She's running a language workshop with Jackie to a cohort of people that are interested in documenting their languages and speaking their languages. And I think that's going to be a great outcome. That's going for 2 weeks. But they'll be presenting at the NAIDOC Day of Celebrations over at NI on Thursday. There's other researchers like Brenda Muturuwa. She'll be talking about her work in Yolngu studies and what she does here at CDU in teaching and her role as an educator and what knowledge she shares and authorises to be shared here in the higher education landscape, which is quite amazing and uplifting. And we have Professor Stephen Bird talking about his amazing ARC project about technology. And he'll be there sharing more information about that and the way that he's been assisting with language programs out in Arnhem Land and with the Binning people and with other Indigenous peoples locally and internationally. So there's lots of amazing projects that are happening at CDU around Indigenous languages.
We're pretty lucky.
We are very lucky.
I feel really lucky to have had you in with me today. I just can't thank you enough for sharing your time with me, Associate Professor Linda Ford. I'd love the opportunity to talk with you further in the future if you can spare some time to come back to Territory FM.
Yes. I'll say goodbye to you in a couple of languages.
Please.
So Mamak is my language. Maranungu, Marathial, or the daily family languages. Bubu, which is West Arnhem language, or Yawu from Torres Strait Islands, and Jujutna is Yolngu language from East Arnhem.
Thanks, mate. That's how I can say it.
No worries.
We'll catch up again soon.
Thank you.